Good to see everyone here this morning. And it's been just a great VBS weekend. We have really enjoyed it. I have. And we've had very good participation. We've had lots of visitors. We've had lots of family come back, and lots of children, and got to meet lots of new people as well. It's been just a great opportunity. And I think it's an opportunity for everybody just to kind of recharge your batteries a little bit, going into summer, before next year's new school year. And it's just a really good opportunity all the way around. I really like the way it's worked. And for me as an adult in the upstairs class, I've really enjoyed Matt's lessons, and we had really good participation there as well. So it made me sit back and think, there's several instances where Jesus emphasizes children and the way he compares children and the way we should be as Christians. One of those was humility, Matthew 18, starting in verse 1. Matthew 18 and 1 says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself, set him before them, and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me.'" Jesus was making the point here in this lesson. They were all arguing, who's going to be number one, your right-hand man in the kingdom of heaven. And they were, guys typically tend to be pretty competitive. I played, 4 games of volleyball last night, and I'm gonna suffer for it. Typically, there's always competition on who's the best. And that's kind of what I gathered here from them as the discussions they're having with Jesus. Who's the best? Who's going to be number one? And, of course, Jesus took it on a much more serious level and said, spiritually, we are to serve one another. We're to be humble and below. So if you look in the crowd, the person who would be the lowest from far as stature and as far as level in the church would be the child. He took this little child and said, this is the level of humility you need to have in the Lord's church, because you're going to serve one another. And so this wasn't the only time that Jesus emphasized children and their importance, but also as an example. And so I think during VBS it is such a good uplifting time to see all of these children and see their willingness to learn and to sing and to worship God. And so not just their example of humility, but their example, their energy that they have, the joyfulness that they have. There's so many things we can look at as adults in the Lord's church and in our children. Those of us who are parents, and any of us that have influence over children, there's so many things that are important to us. Yes, this VBS is great. We're kind of springboarding, and hopefully we'll take this into our homes, into our lives, and continue that willingness to learn. But it is our responsibility as parents to teach our children good study habits, teach them to have a true relationship with God, not just when we get in the car to go to worship, that's the time we get our mind right to worship God. And yes, we should, but that's not the only time. Are we teaching them day in and day out how to follow God? Look in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So you see here the order to parents is to train up our children in the way that they should go. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." We see here in this passage in Deuteronomy, first of all, the command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. If that is where we are as parents, then our children are going to see it. Our children know the truth of who we truly are. We can put on a mask for someone else, you know, at a worship service or in the workplace. But our children spend enough time with us at home, they know. They know deep down if we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. But then the passage goes on to teach our children the words of God. Verse 7 said, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." I think that encompasses our life. If our life is lived serving God, our children are going to see it. And our children are going to copy it. Look how many times your kids want to be just like you. When they get 17, sometimes that changes a bit. They kind of want to go their own way, do their own thing. But look how many little ones want to be just like their mommy or just like their daddy. And hopefully, if we're living our life as a servant of God, that is going to be the number one thing they want to be like us. Now, children, the scriptures don't just command your parents on how to raise you, it also commands you on how you should listen to your parents and the level of respect that you should have for your parents. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." I love how Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, every time he addressed groups of people, he addressed everyone. And in this case, it is definitely true. He starts off with the children, and he says, obey your parents, respect your parents. And when I mention this to you all, it's just as the scriptures. It's all ages of children. It's not, I respect my parents only if I agree with them. It's not, I'm ordered to obey and respect my parents only up to like age 10. This is all children. And to show true respect to our parents and to obey them. The only time that would change is if your parent was commanding you something that was contrary to the Word of God. And that should not ever happen. We should never see that instance. So that one exception we should never see with godly parents. So children, truly respect your parents. And it comes right back at the end of that, and it goes right back to the parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we are to train our children, we're to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, but also we shouldn't look at ways to pick at them and to make them angry. Let's work as parents to bring up our children, discipline, and instruction of the Lord. And like I said, the fact that you're all here today shows that we want to train our children in the Lord. And children, you also don't realize what an impact you have on your parents. You're commanded to obey and to honor your parents. But I don't think you realize what an encouragement you truly are to us. Your willingness to learn, but also sometimes the correction is on you. There's been times in my life where I might have had an attitude or said something that I probably shouldn't have, and the correction, sometimes from my spouse, yes, but sometimes it's from our children, even at a very young age. You know, Daddy, I'm not sure that was right. And you get to think about it, looking at it, and you know, you're exactly right. That is not the example I should have had for you. And so look how many times that happens to us as parents, that the encouragement and the reproof actually comes from a little one. And so that, children, you don't realize what an encouragement you are, and also how you can help correct us from error at times as well. So this whole Bible study that we've done this weekend has been mountains. And we've chosen just to discuss a few mountains because there's so many times in the Bible that neat things happened on mountains. We've only discussed a few. We didn't discuss Noah and Mount Ararat because we just had Noah in a VBS a few years ago. But so many times in the Bible, when we see something happening on a mountain, it was God wanting to deliver a special message to his people. He had something special that he wanted to say, that he wanted to deliver. So when we looked and we studied Mount Sinai, we saw that God had his chosen people. He had just taken Moses and delivered them out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. The Red Sea had engulfed all of those Egyptian soldiers who were pursuing them and drowned them. And he had delivered them. They had just seen the plagues utterly destroy the most powerful empire on the world at that time. And he wanted to tell them, I've made this covenant with you. You are my people. And these are the words that you're going to live by. That was Mount Sinai. He gave the Ten Commandments. He gave the law and everything and made promises to them if they kept the law as well. We have the full inspiration of God. We sing the song in VBS, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And we're not needing God to come speak to us on a mountain. We have everything the Lord wants to say to us. He's not delivering the law like he did on Mount Sinai because it's right here. Every bit of it. If we want to hear from God and what he has to say to us, everything he has to say is right here in his inspired word. But it's a neat study to look at mountains in general. Matt, in his lessons upstairs, y'all missed that downstairs, but he got to talking about who's climbed, you know, the highest mountain. And I think Paul ended up winning with 11,000 feet. He had climbed a mountain 11,000 feet tall. And sadly, in our area right here, we don't have a lot of mountains. The closest mountain that I know of personally is Tall Peak up just north of Albert Pike, and it's only 2,300 feet. But when you climb Tall Peak, and if you get a chance, it's not that very far away. You just drive to Albert Pike, head north, and then there's a little service road that's gated, and you just walk up the road there. It's not a bad hike at all. But when you climb Tall Peak, there's a little fire station there, and you can see more of God's creation than you would normally see on flat ground. From Tall Peak, you can see all the way to the Foreman Cement Plant on a clear day. And it's beautiful. And so I think that may be why a lot of these things happen on these mountains, is because when you're up that high, you can see more of God's creation, more of the beauty all around you. And so that's why I think a lot of these special messages came on mountains. And maybe the other thing is people might have felt that they were a little bit closer to God. I don't know. But this message was delivered on Mount Sinai. We don't have a mountain that that message is going to be delivered to us. But if we were climbing a hypothetical mountain in order to hear from God, what things would he want to tell us? And as individuals, today, in this modern world, if we were going to get a message from him to tell us something, what would it be? And I think we can look to God's word for the answers. And no, God is not, his complete word is here for us. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So we see here the power of the word of God. And as we sing that little song, B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, that's where the emphasis needs to be in our walk with God, is that we actually study and know God's word. I think just one of the biggest issues for us today is going to be following false teachings. One of the biggest threats to the church today would be following false teachings. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Galatians 1 and 6 says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. So I think one thing we need to be wary of is false teachings. And hopefully, as far as our families are concerned, this is something we will definitely be wary of, or things that are taught contrary to the Word of God. Because if we build that as part of these little ones' foundation, that's going to affect generations and generations to come. If there is a false teaching that is taught to them, and they're going to teach that to their children, and it just snowballs from there on. And so I think that's why there was such a great emphasis put on false teachers. And it's again and again and again in the New Testament we're warned of false teachings. The next mountain we looked at Saturday morning was Mount Carmel. Definitely one of my favorite mountain stories of the whole Bible, Mount Carmel. And the big emphasis of Mount Carmel was, who is your God? Who are you going to serve? Was it Baal, or was it the Lord God Almighty? And if we were climbing a mountain today and we were listening to this message, no, it's not going to be a question of whether we're serving Baal. In our society here locally, there's not many true false idol type gods that you would see. You might see a little thing of Buddha if you go in the right restaurant or hotel, but it's pretty rare. In our society today, I don't think a little Buddha is the threat that we face as far as worshiping an idol. And I think it's important that we teach our children that us worshiping an idol is not this little golden calf or Buddha or something like that, that it is beyond that. For us, what things can we put in our lives that become idols, that take the place of God? That is the message I get in modern times from Mount Carmel, is that what can we put in place of God? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. When we look at our lives today and the lives of our children, what things do we put in place of God, and what areas do we allow ourselves to compromise? And I think one of the most valuable things in our lives in this modern world is time. We live in a society where hardly any of us are really suffering as far as clothing or a meal or a place to stay. We are so very well blessed. We are such a very, you know, wealthy population here where we live. But society tells us that we always need more. That we always need to try to keep up with our neighbors. And that you have to do more and be more. And there's nothing wrong with being blessed. And all good and perfect things come from God. But when we think about the rat race of life, where do we spend our time? And when we're training our children, where are we teaching them that we spend our time? And where are they going to spend their time? And by this, I mean, are we taking time to spend with them and teaching them good study habits and studying their Bible? That communication with God, are we teaching them how to pray? Are we teaching them to take the time out of their day to pray? Because time is so short and so valuable, and life gets busier and busier and busier. Are we teaching our children that God is the most important and that we should take that time? Children, how many of you are old enough to have homework in school? I'd say quite a few of you have homework. You're assigned that homework. They want you to, maybe you're doing your spelling words or your math lessons or what have you. But if you're old enough to do homework and you're old enough to take some of that responsibility on yourself, your parents will say, you know, do you have your homework done? Maybe before supper time. If you're old enough to do homework, you're old enough to start your personal Bible study. And maybe you should just start thinking, have I done my homework? Have I done my Bible study? And if you're needing help as far as direction on where I should go with my Bible study, one good spot to start would be, what are we studying in our Bible classes? What scriptures Matt's putting on our list in the back, and what scriptures can I look at before Sunday? And so if we're old enough to do homework for school, then I would say we're old enough to start working on us having a routine Bible study. And prayer to God, this is the way we communicate with God, and this is the way that He hears from us, and it's a good gauge of how close we are to God. When you think about your relationship with somebody, a big part of that is communication, how you talk to them. And so how we talk to God is a good gauge of our relationship with God. And the next mountain we studied yesterday afternoon was the Mount Transfiguration. And the Mount Transfiguration, what we see here is the power of God and Jesus being shown as the Almighty Son of God. He was transfigured. His face glowed. His clothes were turned white. And those who were with Him saw that this truly is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In our VBS songs, we sing the wise man built his house upon the rock, and we do the little motions of building on the rock versus building on the sand, and we've got a firm foundation on Jesus. Parents, it's up to us to lay that foundation. It's up to us to make sure that the spiritual lives of our children are built on Christ and Christ alone. So as we conclude today, our next lesson will be Jesus on the Mount of Olives and the great sacrifice that He gave Himself for all of us. And so this morning, I just want us all to think of the foundation that we're laying for these children for years to come. And children, realize that it is your responsibility and your salvation is on you as well. So if you would, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.